Your Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent is here to help you navigate all the ins and outs of insurance.
That's right. Julie's always there for me. She's the best.
Nice. Your agent knows.
My girl, Julie. Jules, the crown jewel. Julie Jukebox. Yours, Julie.
When you've got an agent who knows.
Jewel Belt. Jewel Log. Julie Noted.
You call your agent all these nicknames?
Not yet, but I totally could. It's all cool with Jewel.
Get to know an Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent, and you'll never have to go it alone. Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Let's insurance together.
Welcome to Our Sunday Talks, an exclusive series for the patrons of the Inspirational Living Podcast. Today's Sunday Talk was edited and adapted from the classic work The Kybalion, Hermetic Philosophy, published in 1908. What the mystics know as the law of paradox is an aspect of the principle of polarity. Mystical writings are filled with references to paradox in the consideration of the problems of life and being. Hermetic teachers are constantly warning their students against the error of omitting the, quote, other side of any question. And their warnings are particularly directed to the problems of the absolute and the relative, which perplex all students of philosophy, and which cause so many to think and act contrary to what is generally known as common sense. Therefore, we must caution all students of spirituality to be sure to grasp the divine paradox of the absolute and relative, lest you become entangled in the mire of the half-truth. With that in mind, let's begin our discussion. The first thought that comes to the spiritual person after they realize the truth that the universe is a mental creation of the all is that the universe and all that it contains is a mere illusion, an unreality, an idea against which their instincts revolt. But this, like all other great truths, must be considered both from the absolute and the relative points of view. From the absolute viewpoint, of course, the universe is in the nature of an illusion, a dream, a phantasmagoria, as compared to the all in itself. We recognize this even in our ordinary view, for we speak of the world as a, quote, fleeting show that comes and goes, is born and dies. For the element of impermanence and change, finiteness and unsubstantiality, must ever be connected with the idea of a created universe when it is contrasted with the idea of the all, no matter what may be our beliefs concerning the nature of both. Philosopher, metaphysician, scientist, and theologian all agree upon this idea, and the thought is found in all forms of philosophical thought and religious ideas, as well as in the theories of the respective schools of metaphysics and theology. So, the Hermetic teachings do not teach the unsubstantiality of the universe in any stronger terms than those already familiar to you, although their presentation of the subject may seem somewhat startling. Anything that has a beginning and an ending must be, in a sense, unreal and untrue, and the universe comes under this rule in all schools of thought. From the absolute point of view, there is nothing real except the all, no matter what terms we may use in thinking of or discussing the subject. Whether the universe be created of matter, or whether it be a mental creation in the mind of the all, it is unsubstantial, non-enduring, a thing of time, space, and change. I want you to realize this fact thoroughly before you pass judgment on the mystical conception of the mental nature of the universe. Think over any and all of the other concepts, and see whether this be not true of them. The absolute point of view, however, shows merely one side of the picture. The other side is the relative one. Absolute truth has been defined as, quote, things as the mind of God knows them, while relative truth is things as humanity's highest reason understands them. And so, while to the all the universe must be unreal and illusionary, a mere dream or result of meditation, nevertheless, to the finite minds forming a part of that universe and viewing it through human faculties, the universe is very real indeed, and must be so considered. In other words, in recognizing the absolute view, we must not make the mistake of ignoring or denying the facts and phenomena of the universe as they present themselves to our mortal faculties. Remember that we are not the all. To take familiar illustrations, we all recognize the fact that matter exists to our senses. We will fare badly if we do not. And yet, even our finite minds understand the scientific dictum that there is no such thing as matter from a scientific point of view. For that which we call matter is held to be merely an aggregation of atoms, which are merely a grouping of units of force called electrons, vibrating in constant circular motion. We kick a stone and we feel the impact. It seems to be real, notwithstanding that we know it to be merely what we have just stated. But remember that our foot, which feels the impact by means of our brains, is likewise matter, so constituted of electrons, and for that matter, so are our brains. And at the best, if it were not by reason of our mind, we would not know the foot or stone at all. Then again, the ideal of an artist or sculptor, which they are endeavoring to reproduce in stone or on canvas, seems very real to them. So do the characters in the mind of the author or dramatist, which he or she seeks to express so that others may recognize them. And if this be true in the case of our finite minds, what must be the degree of reality in the mental images created in the mind of the infinite? To mortals, this universe of mentality is very real indeed. It is the only one we can ever know, though we rise from plane to plane, higher and higher in it. To know it otherwise but actual experience, we would need to be the all itself. It is true that the higher we rise in the scale, the nearer to the mind of God we reach, the more apparent becomes the illusory nature of finite things. But not until the all finally withdraws into itself does the vision actually vanish. So we need not dwell upon the feature of illusion. Rather, let us recognize the real nature of the universe. Seek to understand its mental laws, and endeavor to use them to the best effect in our upward progress through life, as we travel from plane to plane of being. The laws of the universe are nonetheless iron laws because of the mental nature of things. All, except the all, are bound by them. What is in the infinite mind of the all is real in a degree second only to that reality itself, which is vested in the nature of the all. So do not feel insecure or afraid. We are all held firmly in the infinite mind of the all. There is nothing to hurt us or for us to fear. There is no power outside of the all to affect us. So we may rest calm and secure. There is a world of comfort and security in this realization when once attained. Then, calm and peaceful, do we sleep, rocked in the cradle of the deep. resting safely on the bosom of the ocean of infinite mind, which is the All. In the All, indeed, do we live and move and have our being. Matter is nonetheless matter to us, while we dwell on the plane of matter, although we know it to be merely an aggregation of electrons or particles of force, vibrating rapidly and gyrating around each other in the formation of atoms. Nor does matter become less matter when we follow the inquiry still further and learn from the Hermetic teachings that the force of the electrons is merely a manifestation of the mind of the All, and like all else in the universe, is purely mental in its nature. While on the plane of matter, we must recognize its phenomena. We may control matter, as all masters of higher or lesser degree do, but we do so by applying the higher forces. We commit a folly when we attempt to deny the existence of matter in the relative aspect. We may deny its mastery over us, and rightly so, but we should not attempt to ignore it in its relative aspect, at least so long as we dwell upon its plane. Nor do the laws of nature become less constant or effective when we know them likewise to be merely mental creations. They are in full effect on the various planes. We overcome the lower laws by applying still higher ones, and in this way only. But we cannot escape law or rise above it entirely. Nothing but the All can escape law, and that because the All is law itself, from which all laws emerge. The Hermetic principle of mentalism, while explaining the true nature of the universe upon the principle that all is mental, does not change the scientific concepts of the universe, life, or evolution. In fact, science merely corroborates the Hermetic teachings. The latter merely teaches that the nature of the universe is mental, while modern science has taught that it is material, or of late that it is energy in the last analysis. The Hermetic teachings have no fault to find with Herbert Spencer's basic principle, which postulates the existence of an infinite and eternal energy from which all things proceed. In fact, the Hermetics recognize in Spencer's philosophy the highest outside statement of the workings of the natural laws. And they regard his statement of the, quote, infinite and eternal energy as directly in the line of the Hermetic teachings, always with the addition of their own doctrine that Spencer's energy is the energy of the mind of the All. So the student of Hermetics need not lay aside any of modern science's cherished scientific views regarding the universe. All you are asked to do is to grasp the underlying principle of the All is mind, and the universe is a mental projection held in the mind of the All. The purpose of today's Sunday talk, which I understand may on first listen be a bit confusing, is to impress upon your mind the fact that, for all intents and purposes, the universe and its laws and its phenomena are just as real for the mystical spiritual seeker as they are under the hypotheses of materialism and science. Under any hypothesis, the universe in its outer aspect is changing, ever-flowing, and transitory, and therefore devoid of substantiality and reality. But note the other pole of the truth under the same hypotheses. That is, we are compelled to act and live as if the fleeting things were real and substantial. When we fully and truly understand this principle, this divine paradox, and its resulting laws and practices, it revolutionizes life. So remember, do not yield to the temptation which overcomes the half-wise mystic and causes them to be hypnotized by the apparent unreality of things, the consequence being that they wander about like dream people dwelling in a world of dreams, ignoring the practical work and life of humanity. Rather, follow the example of the ancient wise ones who state, use law against laws, the higher against the lower, and by the art of alchemy, transmute that which is undesirable into that which is worthy, and thus triumph. Following this advice, let us avoid the half-wisdom which is folly, which ignores the truth that, quote, mastery consists not in abnormal dreams, visions, and fantastic imaginings or living, but in using the higher forces against the lower, escaping the pains of the lower life by vibrating physically, emotionally, and intellectually on the higher. Remember always that we do not live in a world of dreams, but in a universe which, while relative, is real so far as our lives and actions are concerned. Our business in the universe is not to deny its existence, but to live, using the laws to rise from lower to higher. Living on, doing the best we can under the circumstances arising each day, and living, so far as is possible, to our biggest ideas and ideals. The true meaning of life is not known to us now, but the highest authorities and our own intuitions teach us that we will make no mistake in living up to the best that is in us, so far as is possible. We are all on the path, and the road leads upward ever, with frequent resting places.
Your Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent is here to help you navigate all the ins and outs of insurance.
That's right. Julie's always there for me. She's the best.
Nice. Your agent knows.
My girl, Julie. Jules, the crown jewel. Julie Jukebox. Yours, Julie.
When you've got an agent who knows...
Jewel Belt. Jewel Log. Julie Noted.
You call your agent all these nicknames?
Not yet, but I totally could. It's all cool with Jewel.
Get to know an Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent, and you'll never have to go it alone. Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance. Let's insurance together.